All right. Welcome, everyone. This is your host, Lucian Gauthier, and I'm here with a very special guest, Dr. Joel Furman. He's going to be joining us at the Hilton Anaheim in Anaheim, California, Friday, April 6th to Sunday, April 8th, 2018 for our Longevity Now conference. Dr. Joel Furman has a new book out called Fast Food Genocide, How Processed Food is Killing Us and What We Can Do About It. So it's great to have you here, Dr. Furman. Welcome.
Thank you. Excited about being here and, of course, being at the conference next month.
And at the last conference, you talked about the nutritarian diet, how to get those micronutrients in, how to lower our growth-promoting factors, such as runaway insulin levels and things like that. What's some of the new stuff that you've been working on lately?
Well, you know, a lot of different things. But my newest book, as you just mentioned, Fast Food Genocide, discusses that that the foods Americans are eating, especially the fried foods and the processed foods and barbecued and things like that, they don't just cause atherosclerosis, heart attacks and strokes and cancers. They also destroy the human brain. And I think people don't recognize the same foods that are causing cancer and heart attacks are causing depression, mental illness, loss of attention, loss of creativity, and propensity for drug use and drug abuse. So what I'm saying here now is that even the fact that half of the people incarcerated in federal prisons today are there because of drug-related offenses, and that drug use, often the gateway drug, starts with the abuse of sugar and candy and processed foods and fast foods early in life, and the fact that parents use these unhealthy foods as rewards and as, you know, bringing donut holes to soccer games and birthday parties and, you know, and Halloween, and just that people that our American population doesn't recognize the long-term damaging effects of the human brain. The fact that, of course, it results in dementia when you're older. But even before, what I'm saying right now, there's subtle effects, subtle negative effects on the human brain that occurs even before we eventually develop dementia from eating these processed foods and junk foods and candy. They actually destroy the brain, interfering with our education, interfering with our creativity. And now 1 in 5 Americans are mentally ill, largely due to the effects of the food industry on the human brain. And then people have no idea what's going on. And they talk about, you know, they don't know that the tentacles of this junk food, processed foods, and chemicalized foods, how it affects almost all aspects of American life.
I think a lot of people maybe have read about, you know, like yellow dye number 5 or red dye number 2 and those things being, you know, the term excitotoxin comes to mind. Are you talking about maybe some of the additives? Or are you talking specifically about the sugar and some of the kind of base ingredients, or is it like the whole package?
You know, it's a difficult question you're asking me because it's the whole package. Because, look, you take oil and you fry it at high temperature over hours and you put a French fry or a piece of chicken in there and you're causing pro-inflammatory free radical compounds that are carcinogenic, mutagenic, teratogenic. In other words, they cause birth defects. And they're so dangerous, even the link in the scientific literature shows that even one serving of commercially prepared French fries per week, just one serving a week increases your risk of breast cancer by more than 26%. We're talking here just, you know, it's a dose-dependent manner. We're talking about even 2 servings of commercial baked goods made with white flour, like a croissant or a bagel, just 2 servings a week more than doubles your risk of developing major depression. We're talking about these foods, even in moderate use of these foods, having a significant impact on mental illness in America. And it's not just the chemicals, the red dye number 2 and the yellow dyes and things, of course, that plays a role too. But we're talking about the fact that when you eat foods that are toxic, and one of the classification of fast foods and what I'm calling fast foods are things that can be digested and absorbed rapidly, meaning the calories rush into the bloodstream between 25 and 50 calories a minute can come into the bloodstream. And when calories rush into the bloodstream that unnaturally fast, it sets off dopamine receptors in the brain. And the dopamine stimulation in the brain makes you get hooked, become addicted to want to crave and recreate that same feeling. And the continual use of these foods makes the brain become dopamine insensitive, leading you to seek out further concentrations of brain-stimulating substances, alcohol or drugs. And so what I'm saying right now, it's not just the chemical additives. It's the way that it's the fact that we process the food to make the calories more rapidly accessible. When you eat a walnut, those fat calories may come into the bloodstream over a 3-hour, 4-hour period. When you take in walnut oil, the calories rush into the bloodstream in 3 to 5 minutes. When you take a wheat berry and you soak it into a sprout, the calories make them into your bloodstream over a 2-hour period. When you make it into pastry flour, the calories are coming in 3 to 5 minutes. All the calories rush in at once. There's a huge insulin response. There's a huge dopamine response. When you're eating, it's very complicated because there's a lot of factors that work simultaneously. And there's a lot of comorbidities. What I'm saying right now is digestive comorbidities. In other words, when you're eating like a hamburger or a pizza or macaroni and cheese, the combination of the high insulin response and the high insulin-like growth factor 1 response, the high levels of IGF-1 that are produced simultaneously, leads to this hormonal sandwich that's very powerfully in promoting fat storage, angiogenesis, and cellular replication leading to cancer. So there's a lot of factors involved here. That's just imperative that people really understand this information, because when you really understand what's going on, you make better choices. When you understand how healthy food can make it taste delicious and retain the nutrients when you prepare them, you make better choices. And this is a process that what I'm suggesting is that it should be reading, writing, arithmetic, and nutritional science taught in our school systems. And it's not good enough for health professionals or us nutritional researchers or specialists or physicians to be advocating this information to the public. It's necessary that all Americans learn about this as part of the educational process, because we have to radically change the way people are eating in this country. And we all have to take a part in participating and advocating that change to occur, because too much human tragedy is going on right now.
And I think a lot of people really, when it comes to their children, try to do the right thing and, you know, get the right information. And there was one note in the new book that you've written, again, it's called Fast Food Genocide, How Processed Food is Killing Us and What We Can Do About It. It talks about weakening the genes that we pass on to our children. And I think for a lot of people, that's of concern, because there's a lot of studies now with epigenetics and the changing of our human DNA based upon the food we're eating. Can you speak a little bit about that?
Yes, that's another alarming point. And that is that people don't recognize either that, you know, they think when their child has autism, learning disabilities, childhood cancer, and even something like a brain tumor, you know, we're looking for magical answers, thinking we're going to make this magic pill and solve these diseases. And when it's really much easier to prevent them. And what you and I are saying right now, it's not merely the unhealthy diet the mother ate when she was pregnant that increases the risk of these problems in your children. It's also these fast foods and processed meats and fried foods. It's also the diet that the parents eat even before the baby is consumed. Don't forget the eggs live in the mother's body from the time before she's born, because the eggs that form the next generation are formed in the womb when your nails and hair are being formed in your mother's body. So the woman carries the eggs of her children all through her childhood. And when you're feeding your children junk food and candy and artificial colors and sweeteners and fried foods and fast foods, you're damaging the cells of that child, and you're damaging that child's future, increasing the risk of breast cancer and dementia. Yes, but you're also damaging your unborn grandchildren in that child's damaging the child's eggs. So what I'm saying right now is you're damaging more, and not only you're damaging future generations by accelerating your own ill health. But when you eat a diet that's as high in animal protein as the American diet is, it keeps circulating IGF-1 so high that it slows down the epigenetic changes that slows down generational longevity. It has to do with there's a predator-prey relationship in the natural world. And when the cats, let's say, are eating rabbits or eating, you know, whatever they're, you know, eating, when they eat too many rabbits, like the lynx could decimate the Arctic hare. And there'd be no more rabbits, and the lynx would die off, because that's the food they live off of. So when the cats eat too many rabbits, overeat the rabbits, it slows down their lifespan so the rabbits don't get decimated. And nature has, through IGF-1 raising too high of too much animal protein in the species consumption, it has the effect to reduce longevity in future generations up to 2 or 3 generations later, so the rabbits can then repopulate and don't become extinct, and the lynx won't become extinct. This predator-prey relationship, or overeating prey, can lead, when predators overeat prey, it slows their lifespan down, has been passed on to the human species. And when the same thing happens to humans when we overeat animal protein. We're too predatory, and we get too much protein. It produces too much growth hormone, and the excess growth hormone accelerates our lifespan. Excess growth hormone speeds up the aging process and shortens our lifespan, but also can shorten the lifespan of our offspring as well.
And I think for a lot of people, you know, whether to eat meat or not eat meat is a big issue, maybe in the household. What's your take on appropriate levels of meat eating? Like, how often, and then what kind? And based upon what you said, is it necessary to vary it up quite a bit?
most blue zones are all populations that have, that eat less than 10% of calories from animal products. The American diet is about 33% of calories from animal products. Some of the paleo advocates, in spite of long-term studies that go on for decades using hard endpoints like death, so that as you go higher in animal product consumption, death rates spike up considerably. So some of the most popular diets today are exceedingly dangerous and irresponsible. Nevertheless, when you're asking me whether if 10%, you know, the American diet is 33%, so now what's ideal? And I'm suggesting that my, you know, the data isn't hard, but I think that ideal for disease reversal with people with heart disease or diabetes or serious issues, that between 0 and 5%. So I would put 5% as the maximum acceptable range for maximizing longevity, but it may be higher than that. We know that above 10%, we see genetics start to play a major role. In other words, when you eat 15 to 20%, you start to see a lot of the population develop heart disease and cancers. Below 10%, you see rarely do you see those diseases develop. Below 5%, you almost never see them develop. But there are lots of populations, I think there's a Tava Island study, and where populations are eating between 7 and 15% of calories from animal products, but their diet is so high in vegetables and greens that you don't see any heart disease in the population or their ancestry. So I think what you're saying is right, that it has to do with the other quality, the quality of your diet in general. But I think that that our diet has to be much lower in animal products than Americans are eating, and perhaps even lower than that 10% range, which, by the way, 10% of animal products is quite a lot of animal products. You know, that's like 20 ounces a week, and 5% is like 10 ounces a week. So we're talking here about dramatic reductions, but you can still use animal products as a little condiment or a flavoring device, you know, and still achieve optimal health if your diet is otherwise excellent. I think everybody recognizes, all nutritional scientists and researchers recognize, that sugar and white flour and processed candy and these junk and fried foods that people are eating shouldn't even come into the equation. And the other issue here, of course, is the use of oil in the diet, because oil is not the same thing as a nut. Sesame oil is not as the same thing as a sesame seed, and walnut oil is not walnut, is not a walnut and nut. And then when you eat the oil, of any type of oil you eat, it gets rapidly absorbed. It leads to rapid fat storage. It leads to increasing hormones that are unfavorable to your health. And it also is stimulatory and weight gain causing because of the rapid absorption of those calories. What I'm saying right now is that the only thing really proven to radically extend lifespan, really radically extend lifespan, is moderate caloric restriction in an environment of micronutrient excellence. And that means that you have to eat mostly foods that are rich in micronutrients and naturally lower in calories. And the more you do the opposite, the more you eat calorically concentrated foods that are, that have no significant micronutrient load, the more you shorten your life with every bite. Because it's diluting the micronutrient density of your diet and increasing the caloric density, the exact opposite of life of what you should be doing to promote lifespan. So these new diets that are out there, it's just utterly insanity. They come up with these ridiculous hypotheses that people believe with no long-term data, with using hard endpoints, which is to show any support to those ideas absolutely at all. You know, so I really am on a, you know, passionate about making sure people have the right information here to counter the fads and the nonsense out there.
And are you concerned about toxicity in our food chain, whether it's meat or vegetables, even some of those high micronutrient dense foods that you're talking about? Does toxicity, you know, does that concern you at all? And do you watch out for that when you're making your own food choices?
Absolutely. I mean, there are four principles of the nutritarian diet. One we discussed right now was nutrient density per calorie, nutrient per calorie density. The next principle is hormonally favorability, which we discussed already. The next principle is comprehensive exposure to all nutrients. You know, make sure you're not missing nutrients humans need. And the fourth principle, which you just mentioned, is toxicity, is not being exposed to carcinogens, toxins, and parasites, pathogenic bacteria, and harmful additives that could hurt you. You could be the healthy diet in the world, and you could be poisoned with arsenic. You know what I mean? So that's a clear no-brainer there, you know? And right now, it leads to the common, Consumer Reports just put out a report saying last year that how brown rice was so contaminated with arsenic. And now we're seeing a few flame retardant chemicals in eggs and in egg yolks and in chickens from using it in their bedding. And so we have a whole cycle of certainly I'm a huge supporter of organic gardening and people growing their own food and people having, trying to have, put little grow foods on their patios and boxes and do what we can to support the organic farming movement, not just for our own health, but also for the health of our environment and the health of the workers and farmers and people who work in the fields with the chemicals, not have them get a higher risk of brain tumors and soft tissue damage and leukemias, which they do get from working with these chemicals. So absolutely, all these things play a role. And the point is here is that we've made such incredible advances in nutritional science to really undercover the cause of disease, that we have such a unique opportunity in human history to live longer and healthier than ever before if we can take advantage of the knowledge that we have gleaned, you know?
And that's fantastic. Thank you so much. And you're going to be taking the stage at our upcoming Longevity Now conference. For those of you just joining us, April 6th to April 8th, that's at the Hilton Anaheim, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Dr. Joel Furman is going to be taking the stage. And give us a sneak peek on what you're going to be talking about. What are some of the things that you're going to share with our audience?
Well, you know, mostly at that conference, I'm really going through the most important principles of human longevity and how we can live a life, you know, free of cancer, free of strokes, free of dementia, and maintaining superior health for 100 years without any, with feeling great, fully able to live your life. So we're going through the principles of longevity science, that the scientific evidence showing we can slow aging, prevent and reverse disease, prevent reverse heart disease, win the war on cancer right now with adherence to a diet rich in anti-cancer phytochemicals. And the same dietary portfolio prevents dementia. So what I'm talking about there is making people really take full advantage to have great health and not have happened to them what's happening to other Americans all around them with cancer and heart attacks and strokes being incredible and diabetes being an incredible epidemic and, of needless suffering that doesn't have to happen.
All right. Well, this is Lucian Gauthier here with Dr. Joel Furman. He's going to be joining us at our upcoming Longevity Now conference, 6.5 weeks away. Thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Furman. We really look forward to you taking the stage. And just for people listening, if you have a chance, you can, jump onto Dr. Furman's website. It's www.drfurman.com. He's got some great videos, books, and things that you can check out. Really, just an exemplary practitioner of health. I mean, you definitely walk your talk, as they say.
Well, thanks so much. And that's what I have a very rewarding career is watching people recover their health and reverse these diseases in the street. And I think this is the way all doctors should be practicing. They all should be, the nutrition should be the centerpiece of every doctor's practice across America.